Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
The option to withdraw from your pension fund savings. Just over a year ago, from the 1st of September, we saw National Treasury, as well as key players in the asset management, investment and financial services space, actively unlocking the opportunity for us as South Africans who save for retirement to tap into a third of our savings pocket. Two-pot withdrawals were essentially initiated, and since then there's been a huge drive and move to actually witness and account for the numbers that South Africans have been able to withdraw. To help us understand some of the lessons from the front line 1 year into the two-pot system, and of course withdrawals that were officially launched and announced publicly for those withdrawals to take place from the 1st of September last year, we're now joined on the line by the Managing Executive for Sanlam Umbrella Solutions, Nzwa Shoniwa. Mr. Shoniwa, always a pleasure to speak to you, sir. Excited to touch base with you tonight.
Thank you for having me, Gugu.
Thank you for joining us, Nzwa. We touch base at the beginning of the year here on Kaya Biz to get a reflection on the retirement sector trends that we see in South Africa. Earlier this year, we also had the opportunity to touch base with you regarding the Sanlam Benchmark Survey. And it's always so refreshing to take a look at where and what South Africans are doing with their money. So 1 year after the first official withdrawal of two-pot funds, where are we? How much have South Africans actually withdrawn?
Yeah, it's definitely interesting data. I think the one aspect that's come out of the data that we've got, you know, 1 year in, is that two-pot has provided a critical lifeline to households that are under financial strain. So just from our side, you know, from September 2024 to the end of August, Sanlam Corporate has actually paid out around 4 billion rands across 223,000 claims. Mm. And, you know, at the back of that 4 billion rands that we paid out, probably a billion has been paid to SARS and tax. And you know, from our side, as much as withdrawals spiked in you know, at the beginning of two-pot, as well as in March this year, I think a lot of what we've also seen is you know, repeat claimants who've come in when the new tax year opened. So at least 70% of the claimants in the new tax year were repeat claimants from last year. Mm. And I think that probably speaks to, you know, the financial strain that a particular segment of our membership is under.
Very telling. And this data is shared in your 2025 Sanlam Benchmark survey. What I'm also intrigued by is just the average number of the withdrawal in terms of if we can quantify that and maybe also add some clarity if that figure is before or after tax has been paid.
Yeah, so the figure is before tax, and the average withdrawal that we've seen is around 22,000 rands. But just to put that average into perspective is that, remember, at the beginning of two-pot, there was a ceded amount, which was the greater of, you know, the lower of either 30,000 rands or 10% of your accumulated savings. So a lot of people would have had the 30,000 rands and they would have withdrawn that maximum 30,000 rands.
Yes.
But currently what we're seeing is that post that first withdrawal, anything that is in their savings pot, you know, when the new tax year opened, they're actually taking 100% of that amount, which averages out, since we started two-pot, the average is around 22,000 rands. But I think that's quite an interesting step from our side is we term that, we say it's an emergency savings pot, or an emergency pot, you know, when it's an emergency only. Mm. So, you know, the size of the emergency seems to be everything that sits within that emergency pot.
Mm. Got you on this one. And what you keep emphasizing as well, which I appreciate, is the fact that this is not money that's just taken willy-nilly. As Sanlam, you've been able to get some insight as to what this money has actually been used for and where these funds are being directed. And as you've consistently emphasized, South Africans have actually been in need of, I guess, some level of financial assistance and intervention through the form of two-pot. So maybe add some color as to, you know, what many of the withdrawals have actually been used for, according to your data.
Yeah, it came as no surprise. So, you know, most of the withdrawal rates are among people with lower incomes. And it's also concentrated, you know, among that mid-career workers aged between 35 and 44. I think 42% of all withdrawals is actually that age band, followed by those aged between 45 and 54, who make about 28% of all withdrawals. But from, you know, the data that we have in terms of what they're using that money for, most of them confirm that they're using that money for debt repayment. So 44% confirmed that was mostly to repay debt. And then 33% confirmed that they were using the money to pay school fees. And then we had quite a, you know, a small number after that confirming that they were using the money to support unemployed family members, rent, food, medical expenses. And what it speaks to, you know, all the way from debt to supporting family members and rent, food, is that people are using this for living expenses and also to help themselves out of this financial strain that they're in.
And that makes complete sense, right, Nzwa? Because we do find that the macroeconomics just haven't been supportive to many people when it comes to our
Exactly.
Costs. But this also comes at a significant consequence, because retirement savings are all about saving for the long term and making sure that we benefit from the likes of compound interest and just the discipline of making sure that we keep up with our contributions. What do we need to be mindful of as South African citizens on the back of the, I guess, unforeseen consequences of multiple withdrawals from our two-pot?
Yeah, thanks, Hugo. I like that comment you make around compound interest. You know, we speak now about financial education, financial literacy in our industry. I think where financial literacy needs to start is at the basics. What is compound interest? How does it work?
Yeah.
So withdrawals will reduce the base that you could have earned in returns over decades. So as a very simplistic example, you withdraw 20,000 rands today at the age of 35. That could have grown just the 20,000 to 200,000 by the age of 65. Now, that's assuming what is real growth.
Mm.
So if you have repeated withdrawals, that can wipe out hundreds and thousands of rands in future savings. The biggest risk that we still see from withdrawals, you know, is really coming from the fact that most of the people that are withdrawing are already underprepared for retirement. Just to give you a simple stat, 80% of our withdrawals that have come through the 4 billion that I spoke about is from individuals who've got a net replacement ratio below 50%. Now, what a net replacement ratio is that we track what percentage of your final salary can you withdraw via pension.
Yes.
So 50% simply means that when you get to retirement, you've got enough to replace 50% of your salary. Now, most of the people that are withdrawing two pots can only replace 50% of their salary at retirement or less. Mm. So by all these withdrawals that are coming through, it means that 50% drops to 40, drops to 30. The question that you need to ask yourself is that, can I live with 30% of my final salary up until death?
Yeah.
And that's the issue that we're seeing. So it's not the person that's already on track to retire comfortably that's withdrawing. It's mostly those people that are already on track towards bad retirement outcomes.
Mm. And as you say this, it's a really scary position to be in, right? Like, imagine yourself in retirement and you're only earning 30% of your salary. It's very clear that many of us would say, there's no way I can survive on that. But all is not lost, because you are saying that there are interventions and solutions that one can consider in conversation with their financial advisor. And there's two themes that really stood out for me, which is contribution design, because I think that speaks to, you know, instilling the discipline on a day-to-day basis to ensure that you maintain your contribution, and also rebroking benefits, especially for consumers who might not be familiar with, you know, the associated risk cover. Beyond just saving for retirement, you're also trying to prepare for life and all the aspects of life that can happen around you and even on your way to retirement. Talk us through those themes.
Yeah, so we are now, you know, we are in the umbrella fund space. We don't really deal with any standalone administration. I guess where umbrella funds have evolved to is into a space where all umbrella funds are trying to include other employee benefits that are not just simply, you know, savings and paying withdrawals and retirements.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with those benefits, you get the likes of, you know, virtual doctor type benefits. You get, you know, free therapy sessions, for example, free counseling, free advice. And I guess what we are saying is that as employers start to understand what's available out there for their employees, some of those benefits can be triggered, or members can tap into those benefits through their retirement savings vehicle and not have to spend money outside of, you know, they don't have to spend additional money to try and get a script from a doctor, for example, when they've got the flu and they need to get antibiotics. You know, you get some of these benefits for free via your retirement vehicle.
Yes.
So what we are pushing for is for employers to understand that, you know, the retirement savings game or the employee benefits game has changed, where you need to incorporate a holistic value proposition that not only covers just the day, you know, monthly contributions and then try and get someone to a better retirement outcome, but you have to integrate healthcare type benefits, which will not only help you know, your members from a presenteeism, absenteeism perspective, but I think other aspects now come into play, such as financial advice, debt counseling, you know, budgeting tools, which would ultimately help people to understand what is the impact of the decision that they make today by tapping into their two-pot savings in terms of how much they're stealing from their future selves.
especially from a budgeting and financial education point of view that you've highlighted. And Zwa, this underscores a passion point that I know you've often expressed in the engagements you've had with industry leaders, with us as members of the media, and even with your clients, to say we can't put the blame on one person. The truth is, it's a multi-pronged approach in terms of driving these solutions, and everybody needs to come on board, whether it's the corporate institutions like yourselves who come up with the solutions that are required, and us as South Africans as well, citizens, to make sure that we keep with the financial discipline that's required to meet our goals. So how do we need to think about this, you know, for the average South African who is employed, who has access to an umbrella fund, and perhaps is still confused and perplexed as to how to fully maximize on the potential that they can have regarding their retirement savings?
Yeah, Google, from our side, the stance hasn't changed for the past couple of years. We've got the stats now where funds confirmed to us with the benchmark survey earlier this year that it was over 80% of funds that confirmed they offer financial literacy programs and they offer benefit counseling. You know, they've got counselors available for their members. Mm-hmm. What is the issue? The issue is that members are not making use of this of this advice and then the counselors that are available to them. But decisions are being made without any advice, without any professional guiding you through what your options are and what the implications of your decisions are.
Yes.
So I think from our side is that we've got the tools in place, we've got the budgeting tools, we've got the people to speak to. How do we get members to understand the benefits of using all those tools and using the advisors that we've got in play? And from a member perspective yourselves, you need to start utilizing these tools that are available to you. They are part of the admin fees that you pay. You know, obviously, we've got all these benefits and we say, you know, it's free benefits, but it's embedded any fee that you're already paying to us as providers. So we have to get better utilization of all the tools that are available, because I think as long as we see better utilization of these tools, we are going to see better retirement outcomes, especially as it relates to financial advice. Because with professional financial advice, better decisions will be made.
Very true. I'm glad that you highlight that and essentially that the standpoint hasn't changed and partnerships can still be pursued. As things stand now, I guess I'm aware that you can't necessarily offer some level of financial advice, but I'm assuming for anyone who might feel the strain, feel some kind of pressure and still be perplexed as to whether or not they should withdraw from their two-pot, what would your words of guidance be before they take such a decision in this particular tax year?
We've continuously maintained terminology by, say, calling it an emergency pot for a reason.
Yes.
We've never referred to it as a savings pot. It's an emergency pot for an emergency. Understand the tax implications should you access that emergency pot. And those tax implications will definitely give you insight into whether it's an emergency or not.
Right.
So you need to, make sure you understand that this flexibility that's been brought in has not been brought in for South African, retirement members to simply have this access once a year. It's been brought in to help members as and when they need it. I think the realization was that most people don't have any savings outside of their retirement savings. So some sort of early access that's coupled with long-term preservation, which is a two-thirds of your contribution on a monthly basis, is probably a system that would work in South Africa. And we still support it. We still believe that in the long term, this is the right system for South Africa. However, we will always caution that accessing that emergency pot when it's not for an emergency is simply harming your retirement outcomes in the future. And I think that's the advice for people, is to say, when you think of accessing the two-pot, just take a step back. What do I need the money for? Mm. And when they get the money post-tax, this is the amount. However, what we've also included, and a lot of our competitors have also included, is to show you the implications of taking that money. So if it's 20,000 that you want to take out, post-tax is the amount you're going to get. And also, is the implication in the long term of taking out the 20,000 today. So play around with those tools and get a better sense of exactly what the implications are of the decisions that you're making today. I think that's the advice that we're giving people. And make use of the tools available to you from a budgeting perspective as well as from a financial advice perspective.
100%. Zwa, always a pleasure speaking to you, sir. Really appreciate the insight you've given us and this update and reminder of two-pot and reminding and emphasizing the fact that it's an emergency fund. So how big is
Correct.
The emergency? One needs to really think through that. Such a pleasure speaking to you, sir. Thank you again for your time.
No, it's always good. Thanks, Google.
Thank you. That's Nzwa Shoniwa, the Managing Executive of Sanlam Umbrella Solutions, helping us understand the dynamics and lessons learned from the front line 1 year into the two-pot system. Kaya.
Kaya Biz with Gugule Tumfuphi, Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. on Kaya 959.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.